Welcome to PHCP Pros Behind the Wall podcast. I'm Ellen Rohr, plumber's wife, industry icon, and COO of Zoom Dream Franchising Company. With this podcast, our intention is to have real, thought-provoking conversations with people from across the PHCP industry. Of course, we want to entertain and encourage. Mostly, we want to connect and allow our guests to be vulnerable, to explore insights gained and lessons learned. Let's go behind the wall. I like to dig into what makes the cool people in our awesome industry tick. And today I've got two fascinating people to join us today. It's Jay Egg and Christy Egg, and welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you so much for having us, Ellen.
Thanks, Ellen.
You guys are so interesting. I think the one word that strikes me about you is your passion, enthusiasm. You know, I'm someone who has a lot of energy. I feel like I am laying on the couch eating bonbons when I'm around you guys. You are on purpose. You make things happen. You have a lot of fun. You can hear as we talk today, you're going to hear the smile in their voices. So you love what you do. And I am really excited to learn more about you and share that with our listeners. So Jay, I know you're an engineer and I won't hold that against you.
Thank
you. You have more letters behind your name than the average doctorate. So I want to hear a little bit about your story. And Christy, you're a nurse, which is really an interesting layer to the profession that you've developed in environmental health and epidemiology and becoming an expert in, of all things, Legionella. So Jay, let's start with you and give me some salient points of your pedigree that really make you who you are.
Well, I sure will. I was just a Navy, they used to call us squids, and I was a nuclear power electrician. And when I got out of the Navy in Florida and said, I should really get into the air conditioning and heating field because you can't live without air conditioning and heating. So I also very quickly discovered that heating and cooling with the ground is more efficient than using the air. So I started a business doing that and operated really well over 20 years until in around 2009, we had the stimulus package that was put into practice by Obama, President Obama. And I realized very quickly that this geothermal heating and cooling thing could take off. And indeed, it really has. And so I got to write a couple of books for McGraw-Hill. They asked me to write a couple of textbooks. And after that, I kind of kicked off a consulting and writing and speaking and education career, educating others. And that has put us in some really key places, specifically in New York State, but also on the International Uniform Mechanical Code Committees and with the State University of New York, writing curriculum for them. And a lot of that has really pulled Christy in recently with some of her new training. So I'm going to turn it over to Christy to tell us a little bit about her.
And let me just underline that what really strikes me about your CV here is how you have not only made a commercial, marketable, you know, approach to business happen, you're integrating it with government and world agencies. And man, that is not easy to commit to. You know, the red tape, the bureaucracy, the endless phone calls and meetings. And so many of us just go, oh, thank God there's people like you who do it. So thank you. Thank you for your service. Christy, let's hear about you because it's cool how you developed in your career and now you guys work together, but you're so accomplished in your own right. So let's hear from you, sister.
All right. Well, I'm accomplished because I have a wonderful husband who tells me, you can do this. No, you can do this.
And you're even nice to each other.
We are
adorable. You know,
I think that's because our offices are on opposite ends of the house. I've been a nurse for over a dozen years. And although I really enjoyed nursing, even when I was in school, it was the microbiology, it was the virology and the courses that dealt more with basically pathogens and bacteria. And I was always the one who rushed for the lab results before I would rush for the patient histories. So that always interested me a little bit more. So it's not a big surprise to my family and and friends that epidemiology is where I ended up. But it's really neat to be in public health at this time, to be in epidemiology when this pandemic comes around. And so it's been a change of kind of paths midlife, but Jay has just been there every step of the way and kept reaching out to me when this Legionella thing started, when he really started to see this cooling tower issue, you know, more than a couple of years ago. He would look at me and go, "Do you know about Legionella?" And I'd say, "Well, yeah, you know, I know all about Legionella. What do you need to know?" And he would just kind of pick my brain about it. It's been amazing to work with him and to see him take this and kind of run with it and be able to stand by him and work with him on these task force for IAPMO has just been kind of a highlight for me, because I get to see him in all his just intelligence and wit, and just, it's amazing to me when I've been married to the man for almost 23 years and he still surprises me with his brilliance and his understanding of
Now listen to her saying that. And the reason, Ellen, I have to qualify this. I've been on the IAPMO UMC committee for a half a dozen years. But when they asked for a Legionella task force, the only reason I took that on was because I knew my wife was studying public health and epidemiology. So now she's on those committees and she's right in the middle, rubbing shoulders with PhDs from New York City that are writing this code and microbiologists. And they're all going, "Yeah, that's really good, Christy." And I'm going, "Wow, she's the only reason I have any credibility in this." So together, we have really gotten right in the middle of all this pandemic stuff, shall I say.
Well, and I think, you know, this is what strikes me about you guys is that, dear listener, we're going to dive into some super depressing stuff when you know what they know about Legionella, and then, you know, these, I want to say, like, hidden monsters, you know, you just said cooling towers and my heart stopped. These challenges that we have, however you maintain your optimism that this is solvable or at least addressable, that there's progress to be made and you don't get discouraged, I think is one of the things I like most about you. And the fact that you appreciate each other's successes and intelligence and gifts is just a bonus. So let's talk about this a little bit, because the Legionella connection to, like,
COVID.
There's Legionella and there's COVID, and you guys are becoming more relevant all the time. But Legionella is really what got your attention, Jay. Is this correct?
That's correct.
On your thought. So let's go there for a minute. So, like, was that a life event that you thought, I need to take a bigger role in this industry now that I know what I know with the engineering and experience that I've had, and now this, you know, marketable career in HVAC and GO? Like, how did this come? What did the Legionella moment for you? What did that launch for you?
Well, that launched partly, I'm working a lot in New York with the state of New York and NYSERDA, the New York State Energy Research and Development Authority. And I was aware of the Legionella outbreak in 2015 that changed the world for the state of New York, because they had 128 cases, something around the order of 16 people died. And they changed the whole code there because they realized this was something that had to be controlled. Now, there were two prongs on that. When you convert a building over to geothermal heating and cooling, it eliminates the boiler and the cooling tower. So I looked at it first as, well, geothermal has another positive. It can eliminate a cooling tower, which can eliminate Legionella. But as I got further into it, I said, yes, I'll join this committee. I said, but I really need my wife to come along because I don't know the microbiology of it. Now, to give it the natural progression, as we came into this new year, 2020, and I was on this Legionella task force and Christy was starting to get involved, she, as COVID came out, she told people all the way up to the governor's office in New York that COVID symptoms are being masked by Legionella symptoms. According to the CDC, they're almost identical. And that got some real attention. And that really has culminated in what we are doing right now is we're working on the manual of best practices for IAPMO for the shutdown and opening of buildings and with IAPMO and the AWWA, because, and they've included both COVID and Legionella and other diseases in here, because they are all masking each other now, and it's becoming more of a difficult thing to look at. And so this has been a very synergistic relationship.
Is, would that mean that there's kind of a soup of diseases that you could have both, or that one might make you more vulnerable to the other?
Yeah, well, let me explain this. So my big fear was, because COVID was kind of overwhelming the healthcare system, is that we know that a large percentage of cooling tower cooled healthcare facilities have been shown to be positive to have Legionella bacteria. And really, in the Northern Hemisphere, in the United States, really, it's the Legionella pneumophila serotype 1 that's known to cause the
Legionnaire's disease.
The Legionnaire's disease that is harmful to people. So, but with the healthcare facilities already being strained, testing and treating the COVID positive patients, especially in the early part of the 2020, where it was just overwhelming in the New York State area and in the Tri-Cities area or the Tri-State area. My big fear was that people are going in, they're getting diagnosed COVID positive. And once you got that diagnosis, they're focusing on that. Now, Legionnaires and COVID, although one's a virus and one's a bacteria, they present with the same symptoms. They had the fever, the high fever, the malaise, the soreness, the tiredness. There's the dry cough and the respiratory issues where it was just feeling like you couldn't get a full breath. It was hard to breathe. So you look at the symptomology of the two or the critical or the clinical criteria, and they are exactly the same. So you get a COVID-19 diagnosis, you go in the hospital. So they're going to treat you for that. No one's going to be pulling blood and testing you for Legionnaires once you have that diagnosis, because you already have COVID.
It just wasn't thought of.
Right.
Now, is part of the confusion here too, let me know if I'm off track here, but when you talk about the towers and stuff, is it the hospitals themselves, especially, well, or other institutions can be now prone to Legionella? So could you be putting COVID patients in an environment where they could then also get Legionella?
A worse condition, yes.
And that's the problem, is that because so many buildings had Legionella positive results, it only takes, like we know, it only takes one building in such a dense population of cooling towers for, even though Legionella can't be passed from person to person, it can be passed from cooling tower to cooling tower. And so my big fear was that one building has a Legionella outbreak, and nobody's really worried about that right now, because our whole focus in the healthcare system in the first few months of 2020 was COVID. So nobody's really checking for anything else. And
why don't you tell Ellen, so she understands, we know we get COVID person to person. Tell Ellen the only way you can get Legionnaire's disease. It's different.
It is different. It's you have to breathe in those aerosolized water droplets. Well, if one cooling tower is infecting another cooling tower, and the cooling tower of a hospital has those bacterialized aerosolized water droplets, they get sucked into the intake. Then the air conditioning system becomes infected. Well, those patients are now already immunocompromised. They have COVID. They're not being tested for anything else. And we've actually, once I was trying to get this information out, we've actually had doctors who've said, yes, we've had patients that were COVID-19 positive, weren't testing for anything else. Now we're looking at them and going, oh my gosh, they had Legionella as well. So we're treating them for a virus, which is basically you treat the symptoms. But we could have been treating them with an antibiotic, because they had a bacterial infection, which was, in fact, Legionnaires.
So are you making some, I mean, you're so positive. Do you feel like you're making some inroads? Are there some procedural changes happening in hospitals as a result of these conversations?
Yes, there are. And I'm so happy to hear that there are inroads. I mean, the CMS or the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services have always had stringent policies for getting the funding for the CMS, for the VA, for things like that. But our hope is that not just New York City, but we're on this IAPMO committee, we're doing these codes in hopes that every building with a cooling tower. It doesn't matter whether you're in New York City or Boise or Las Vegas, that they're going to have to test their cooling towers, that they're going to have to prove that they don't have any Legionella. I don't care what the serotype is or what the, you know, if it's Legionella pneumophila or Lambuchet, any Legionella count, or at least below a manageable Legionella count, so that we know that these cooling towers aren't infecting each other.
And one of the things, if I might add, as Ellen was asking what kind of marked progress we're making, we are going under contract with the State University of New York and NYSERDA for a 2-year project to teach their facilities managers about the difference and the signs and symptoms. And it's as a part of the IAPMO curriculum we're doing, we're developing that as we go. So they're taking it serious in New York, and they recognize, I have to say, Christie's amazing accomplishments. And they reached out and asked us to include this in an 8-module training session they're doing to facilities managers throughout the state. And the State University of New York has 3,000 buildings. So it's a big project.
Yeah.
This is so exciting. So what about how politicized these, you know, certainly COVID has become, and how do you navigate these waters? Because I can't imagine that isn't something you bump up on with some frequency.
We do. But, you know, I think Jay and I both have kind of made a commitment that it's not about politics, it's about public health. And so, you know, Jay is a huge advocate of geothermal, and mm-hmm. I totally respect that, because I think that in a perfect world, everybody would see the brilliance and the just the history and just the absolute green and noble efforts and effects of geothermal and brilliance behind it. But for me, it's all about the public safety and public health. And I know that geothermal can't work in every single system, but I know that becoming aware of the pathogens and the opportunities we have to try our best to keep them safe, if geothermal can't be instituted immediately, then just the recognition that it's not about politics. I don't care if your state is blue or red. I just want it clean.
You know, I'm so glad that you're beating this drum, because there is this conflict just with regulations. There's a big movement to deregulate. And certainly there are regulations out there that don't make sense and can impede business development. But on the other hand, without regulation, how are we going to handle these, you know, diseases that, you know, can pandemically destroy such great swaths of our population? It's, you know, we need to be able to work together. But you're not getting frustrated. I mean, that's what I love about you guys. You maintain this optimism.
Well, thank you. We do have so much work ahead of us with IAPMO, and we know that that's the best place we can work right now. And we're very grateful that, because of Christie's work, that we're recognized by New York State with some of the skills and our abilities to write curriculum. One of the things that Christie didn't mention is this Legionella is really important, especially because what people don't know is the mortality rate for Legionella is pretty high. If somebody catches Legionella, unlike COVID, the mortality rate is high enough at COVID, but what's the mortality rate in the general population and then in healthcare situations?
1 in 10 for general population. And if you catch it in a healthcare facility, if you're already in a healthcare facility and you get it, which is considered like a nosocomial infection, then it's above 25%.
So wow. This is serious.
Is it misdiagnosed? Because I don't like on a day-to-day basis hear those numbers. Does it get misdiagnosed then?
It actually doesn't get diagnosed a lot. It's underreported and underdiagnosed. Very underreported. Unless there's an actual outbreak, which there's an algorithm for whether there's an outbreak. And usually an outbreak, you only hear about Legionnaires' disease when there's an outbreak, when there's a geographical area where more than one building isn't affected, or there's a large number of cases. So you don't hear about them unless the news picks it up. But I know I've spoken to quite a few doctors here. I have a great private doctor, primary care physician, and have spoken to quite a few other doctors here, and they've never sent someone for a Legionnaires. And this is in Florida, where we have water parks, misters, mm-hmm. and it's not just cooling towers, but even potable water systems can give you Legionnaires. But it's amazing to me that it's so underreported.
Now, what she's talking about there, Ellen, imagine this for a minute. Legionnaires' disease symptoms are really like our pneumonia. That's what it comes out.
Right.
So you come into the doctor, they're going to treat you for pneumonia, and you're going to get better most of the time. So this is just me throwing a wild number out. It is entirely possible that 99 out of 100 Legionnaires' disease diagnoses go unreported because they don't even test for them. Because for a hospital or a doctor to request a Legionella test is a red marker that will bring a lot of heat on them. And so I think that they have to be careful before they do that. So these logarithms Christy talked about, and we've listened to the person who's the head of the Legionnaires Task Force in New York City talk about it. They do have a very complex logarithm that tells them, okay, it's time to test for Legionella. We had three of these amount of time.
The CDC has to send an investigatory team if the algorithm comes out to a certain number. So, but here in the, in Orlando, we have a lot of tourist attractions where you just don't want the word Legionnaires and certain theme parks in the same sentence. So,
right.
I think
this is the regulation and then the misinformation that can be politicized in even in these micro ways.
Yes.
So, and the thing with pneumonia then is pneumonia as a bacterial infection will respond to an antibiotic.
So will
Legionella.
Yes.
Legionnaires disease.
Well, you nailed it.
Well, okay. You know what? But that's where that whole idea and my favorite part, the insidious bacteria of Legionella, especially Legionella pneumophila, that biofilms come in, because that's what builds for antibiotic resistance. The biofilms that actually grow in the pipes and in the cooling towers that protect the Legionella, that's what builds for the antibiotics not working. And that's what we're starting to see is that.
And that's where the standards are going into better cleaning and sanitizing, Ellen.
Yes.
I'm so grateful you're addressing this, because while it's incredibly scary, I'm glad you guys are the ones on the job. So tell me about what propels you. What is if you were to describe your personal or professional mission, your why, take a swing at sharing that with us.
Well, I personally get excited when I see people helping each other in simple and quiet ways. And I like to do that because that's part of what got me to where I am. I have a lot of heroes in my life. And what else gets me excited is private and government programs that help to spur the development of emerging technologies, because sometimes they need a little bit of help. So I get excited just seeing people help one another and reach out and lift each other up. And that just makes me want to do more.
Well, before I pass it to Christy, tell me about one of your heroes.
Well, I will. One of my heroes, of course, I can always talk about my dad and my beautiful wife. You've heard a lot about my wife. My dad's a hero because he was a mechanic. He's a plumber. This is a third generation type thing we're into right now. But just starting in business, there was a wonderful guy that I thought was a threat with a big mechanical company, and his name was Richard. And he came to this complex that I was hoping to win, and he walked with me, and I said, I'm going to lose it to this guy. And this guy looked at me after taking a walk with me, and he said, Jay, he goes, this is your project. He said, I got it, but I'm turning it down because you need this. And I said, oh my gosh. And it was a geothermal apartment complex, my first one back in 1990. So I love to do that for people. Anytime I can, I love to share work and share opportunities, because he really taught me something there.
One of my heroes is Al Levy, and he says, this is how I understand it, from the small things, the big things come. And that's what made me think of that expression, that you solve the big problems by those small acts, and just those little things start accumulating. And now you have this, movement or change that makes a difference on a global basis. I love that. How about you, Christy? Your mission, your why, and maybe someone who's had some impact on you?
Well, my husband's obviously my huge impact, but my parents are still alive, and they're down in Sarasota, and I actually get to surprise and go see them this week. So I'm super excited. I know. I love my mom. I actually call her Marmy, just like in the Little Women.
Oh, in Little Women.
Yeah.
Yay. Yeah. Okay.
But my mom is super amazing. We just lost my grandmother last week, so it's been very, very hard for her. She was one of those people stuck in a nursing home with COVID. We weren't able to go in and see her for a long time. And it wasn't until she was put on hospice for dementia that we were able to actually go in. And so, but my mom is one of those people who never blew smoke. She was always very direct, and she spoke the truth. And she, even after my first brain surgery, we knew that there was going to be some disability with seizures. She said, you know what, you're left with what you're left with, now make the best of it. And my father was one of those people who taught me the hardest decision is usually the right one. So in the face of adversity, if you have a choice between taking the hard road and the easy road, take the hard road, because in the end, you're going to be glad you did. And he's always been right. I've had opportunities to take the easy road, and Jay's one of those people who's always been there to say, hey, you know what? When you get to the end of the hard road, I'm your prize. I'm at the finish line. So, aww.
Well, your mom sounds like Marmy. That sounds like something Marmy would say.
Exactly. Right.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yep. And, so what drives you? Do you have a personal mantra or mission or a why that you, hang on to?
I do. Like I said, it's about communicating and educating people about public health. One of the first trips that I was able to make after the brain surgeries was to Albany with Jay. And I was so terrified of traveling, but I had been eavesdropping on one of Jay's conference calls, and he was on the phone with Cher, which is the Sheridan Hollow Alliance for Renewable Energy.
Oh, I thought you meant the singer. Oh, that sounds like a good story.
No, right. If I could turn back time. No. Yep. And so I'm listening to to the Sheridan Hollow Alliance, and I'm thinking, what? That's environmental injustice, and that's socioeconomic injustice and health injustice. And I just got myself all up in a tither about it. And I'm going with you, and we're going to go to this meeting, and I'm going to change the world. And Jay's looking at me going, woman, you can't even roll your suitcase. And I'm thinking, well, okay, that's true. But I'm still going to go. And I went with him, and we got up there, and I just thought, like, I'm all better. And, you know, I'm still having seizures at the time, and I can't drive or anything, but I'm going to write a paper, and I'm going to write an op-ed to the newspaper. And gosh darn it, I did. And I'm sitting, we're back home by this time, and I'm sitting down, and I'm plugged into the wall outlet, and I'm on my laptop, and there's beautiful Florida storm coming, and I'm just writing away about all the unfair things and how clean water should be available without pathogens and without fear of Legionella and all this stuff and lightning strikes. And I don't have a surge protector because I'm plugged straight into the wall, fries my laptop, I lose everything. And I remember thinking, wow, I am so not ready for this yet. And I love my husband to pieces because he comes out and he sees my laptop and he just looks at me and goes, okay, let's just take a step back and look at all you have done. And your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to heal and learn from this. And that has just become my mission, heal and learn from this. And every time I attend a meeting, every time I go to do something to help educate and help to communicate to people the importance of public health and the importance of fighting for clean water and for, you know, for the safety of cooling towers, is that it's all about healing and learning from this.
So let me ask this. So you had a significant health crisis with a brain tumor. And then you have recovered physically to some degree. Some people, I don't mean to make light of your challenge, but it seems to me that you found some value in that experience in terms of what it's motivated you to do.
I have. I mean, I can't work as a floor nurse, even though I've been a nurse for over a dozen years. I can't work as a registered nurse on the floor anymore. No one will hire a nurse that has seizures. I am considered an epileptic now. And so that was really the trigger for changing paths midlife. But I have to tell you, if this is the harder road, then my dad and mom and my husband are right. It is the harder road, but it is so much better.
Oh, I'm just so inspired today. I'm so inspired today. I am loving our conversation. I have one more question that, I'm going to ask two questions, and I want you guys to tag team on this, however you like to handle it. One is, you know, what makes you super excited, like hopeful? What like small success has really got you all fired up? And the second one is, what is happiness to you? Because I feel like it's coming through in this conversation, but I would just like to end on some clarifying notes. So it's a jump ball. Yeah. It makes you excited and hopeful. What does happiness mean to you? That's my Proust question.
My excited comes from seeing, it's something I saw for geothermal way back. I saw geothermal as a district type product, kind of like natural gas lines, but geothermal lines running through neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. And that is coming to be, that's becoming a reality right now, Ellen. And that makes it very easy for all people to have access to the most efficient heating and cooling available, because they just have to hook up to it like they would a gas line with a furnace, and then they have something that works. So that makes me happy. That is what is coming to fruition that I saw as the end game for this. What really makes me happy, the greatest thing I in life as a father and a grandfather, and I love having the ability to share gifts and good things with people around me, whether there's mm-hmm. something I've done or whether it's, you know, a grandchild or a child or whatever. There's just nothing better than seeing somebody's eyes light up, when kind of like mine did when Rich Unterweger gave me, you know, an apartment complex. I like to be able to call an engineer and say, would you like to do this project that we have, or a contractor, and seeing their eyes light up. I like seeing others succeed.
You like giving. You're a servant.
Who doesn't, though?
Yeah,
it's one of the best feelings
great?
In the world.
I hear you, man. I hear you. How about you? How about you, Christy? What comes up for you with these questions?
Well, I think for me, the something that really makes me feel hopeful is when I see the geothermal community, or even just the HVAC community, but specifically the ground source heat pumps and geothermal, when they're working together. There seems to be this almost like an inherent competition. When I look around and I see there's plenty of work for everybody, really it's more of a need to get the word out about how impressive and amazing geothermal is, and less of a need to compete with one another. That, for me, it's inspirational when I see these companies working together and not competing against one another. So I really am hopeful when I see that happening. And when I see people like Aztec Geothermal, John Shivako, he's just amazing. He's always there. I love him. He's a great guy up in Buffalo.
Cool story there.
Yeah. He's, and then I see Heatherton up in Canada, but he's our buddy. He talked us into getting a Tesla. That's why.
Yeah.
It's a work vehicle. So.
Dave, well, connected with your community you are too.
It's amazing. We've had people that, I don't know, just come out of the woodwork, really
put their arms around us.
Yeah. And especially like during because it was three different brain surgeries, and for aneurysms, which was really amazing. I was 44 years old, no genetic history, no causes. Just, I had a really bad headache one day, and Jay took me in the emergency room, and this is 3 years ago now. And they just found him. And it was like all of Jay's work associates up in New York and Canada and all over the world were just like,
wrapped their arms
they
around
did. It. And I was like, wow, I didn't know you people knew I was alive, but they did.
Well, you are love, love, love. And I want to, I'm just noticing the time. I want to wrap this up. I'm going to have you on the podcast again. Okay. Because I just could talk to you guys for more. I want to make a couple of shout outs here. During, you know, when I first figured out that COVID was happening with our drain company, I tell you what, I was at the iAtmo site all the time, and it was probably our greatest resource. You know, I know other people, I'm not the technical guy in my company. I was turned on to the the site from, you know, some of the guys that I work with, and they were just front and center, and they're such an awesome resource. So if you're listening to this podcast, please get involved with that organization. Also, thanks to PHCP Pros, because they give us this awesome soapbox to talk from, to speak from. That makes me really happy. And if you're not familiar with geothermal, you should be, because it really uses the heat and the, what is the other word?
We call it the, it's a medium temperature heat sink and heat source. So it uses the energy of the earth as a source and a sink for cooling and heating.
And it's right there. It's like the sun. It is such an awesome way to solve so many problems. And Jay and Christy, you guys are undeniable authorities on this topic. So Jay, how are they going to get a hold of you and learn more about what you're into?
All the quickest thing to do is just Google Egg Geo. It'll definitely come up. I've been around so long, I've optimized by a snail's pace.
One word, right?
One word, Egg Geo, three G's, and there we'll find it.
Egg Geo, yes. Okay, that'll get you in touch with Jay and Christy. And thanks for letting us behind the wall and for showing us who you are in your heart and your soul. And I am so impressed, and I'm impressed with you and pleased to be your friend. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And,
Thank you, Ellen. Yay, you are our new, I'm just so glad we got to meet you.
Thanks, Ellen.
Well, Har and Max have been really excited about this episode too. So I'm going to pass on your greetings to my whole family.
Thank you.
And back at you. Love, love, bye. Love. And ladies and gentlemen, we are out.